All right, so here's what I know, and forgive me in advance. I may have a slight speech impediment today because I had some dental work done yesterday. I had some molars extracted. And before we get into the World War III update today, I gotta say, guys, if you have any dental work or medical procedures that you need to get done, do it now, no matter what the cost. Could you imagine having a molar extracted without freezing, without lidocaine and local analgesics, without pharmaceuticals, antibiotics, without painkillers, okay, without all of the wonderful things that modern medicine affords us? It's going to be absolute hell when some janky mad scientist is pulling teeth out of your mouth with some rusty pliers, and all you have to deal with the pain is a swill of whiskey. Do that shit now, okay? And stock up on antibiotics. Antibiotics are so incredibly underrated. Even though we've talked about it many times on this channel before, it bears repeating. Get as many antibiotics as you can. They will be a lifesaver. This abscess I recently had, an exposed nerve I had, was going into I think it's called the trigeminal nerve. And this could have went into my brain and I would have been dead, okay? Dead. Deader than a bag of hammers. So get antibiotics and get that dental work done while the getting is good. Here's what's going on. In Lebanon, the Saudis are the most recent country to issue a total evacuation order from the country, calling back all of their citizens to Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia tends to be a pseudo mediator in this conflict. Now, they tend to have more information. Now, what you're also seeing is there's a staggering of these evacuation orders, and I'm not sure if that's at the request of the Lebanese government, but it seems as though they're doing that to avoid any sort of exodus bottleneck, because almost as bad as trying to extricate civilian, your foreign national population in a war zone is the bottleneck that ensues before that when everybody is trying to get out at the same time. So the smart countries were the ones who advised their population to get out a long time ago. And it's become abundantly clear to me now that this shit's definitely going down. It is a 99.99% chance that the war is going to start there. The Iranians today have threatened that they are going to activate the axis of resistance should Israel decide to go in, even though Israel is going to frame this as a limited operation just to push them back 40 kilometers from the border. It's never going to be that. Lebanon is not going to allow them to compromise their territorial integrity, whether they say it's 40 kilometers or not. And what they're going to try to do, it seems, is foment some sort of civil war in Lebanon, because there are rumors that the Lebanese government, in fact, has been getting weapons from Cyprus. Not from Cyprus, but using Cyprus as a conduit to get weapons into the Lebanese government to form some sort of a resistance from within the country for when this war starts. I'm not sure if you guys are familiar, but a couple days ago there was rumors, and the Israelis were saying that, hey, you guys are using the Lebanese airport to bring in, smuggle in Iranian weapons, and now they're trying to get the Iraqis to close down their airspace to the Iranians because they're worried the Iranians are going to be bringing in weapons. So it's this big cluster FUCK of deception right now. But there's going to be a civil war component to this. You will see activation of all of the IRGC-backed militias throughout the entirety of the region right now as we speak. There are numerous Israeli warplanes doing sonic booms over Lebanon and Syria, and I think even into northern Iraq. I presume that they're going to be dropping some ordnance somewhere, unless this was just a scare tactic of sorts. But the shit's about to hit the fan, and the U.S. warships are currently racing in that direction. They're saying it's for the purpose of evacuating civilians, but we all know that the only way that Israel survives this is with the defensive aid of the Jordanians and the Americans, and quite possibly the help of the Egyptians in some capacity, because they have the manpower and the ground forces to back Israel up. Because if all hell breaks loose, and if what we're seeing recently where Hezbollah launched 40 rockets against Israel, I think that was just a couple days ago, and only 50% were intercepted, then Israel's got big problems, right? When those numbers go up in order of magnitude, and the types of bombs that are used are bigger, then it's going to be very problematic. Now, the Israelis have been training for the past week to strike Iranian nuclear facilities. And I'm starting to suspect that maybe they're going to leapfrog Lebanon and actually go right for Iran. And this whole Lebanon thing could just be a ruse. Because in the last week or so, there's been this focus on Iran. Whether it was Gallant's meeting with Lloyd Austin, they talked a lot about the Iranian nuclear program. This has been front page news on pretty much every Israeli media for the last week, more so than usual, talking about Iran's nuclear program. Now, of course, Iran's on the brink of an election. Iran recently is willing to indicated that they were willing to forgo their religious edicts that dictate and prohibit them from having nuclear weapons if it means ensuring the security of their country. So they're talking openly now about going beyond having nuclear power for just strictly peaceful purposes, but actually becoming a nuclear armed power. This has people concerned, because what the Israelis are saying is that they know that Trump is coming, and that to be a viable deterrent, you have to have nuclear weapons before Trump gets into office. That's what they're saying that the Iranians are thinking. Now, Iran has a new facility called the Natanz facility, which is 100 meters into a mountain. Bunker busters, as far as I know, can go about 60 meters. And I think that's kind of pushing it, to be honest, with conventional ordnance. So is Israel going to be tasked with, and are they training to utilize tactical nuclear weapons? Are tactical nuclear weapons going to be able to breach that gap, that 40-meter gap, which is presumably, it's probably a lot deeper than that. And quite frankly, 100 meters is a lot. So I don't even know if tactical nuclear weapons are going to be able to penetrate that, to be brutally honest. So they're concerned that the Iranians, as a nuclear threshold state, are currently enriching uranium beyond agreed upon levels, even though the JCPOA is null and void. And they're worried that when Trump gets back, the Iranians know that he's going to declare war, so that they need to get nuclear weapons before he steps into office. So that is where we're at. The shit's going to hit the fan. That's why you got to get them teeth pulled while the getting is good. Because when the lights go out, you know, whoever you're with, that's who's going to be pulling your teeth out. So if you don't trust them, do it now. Oh, and go and check out our last video that we released. Please, communist camera people need jobs. I do those videos for you guys because I don't want to just be a talking head channel. I want to show you how to do things. I want to show you what I know, the things that I've learned over the years. I'm no expert, but in that video, we cover all of the domains of prepping. It took us like 2 weeks to make that video. And we go from, you know, if you have very little money, like less than $100, if you have $1,000, or if you have $10,000+ in each domain of preparedness, what can you do to deal and mitigate the coming crises as it pertains to purchasing things? We facetiously talk in the beginning about how people just want to spend money and throw money at the problem to deal with problems. And it's true. Most people don't want to learn skills. They don't want to be bothered with having to go out on a camping trip and really put their gear to the test, or, you know, hone their skills in the various domains of preparedness. People just want to buy shit. So we kind of, you know, we were jokingly talking about that at the beginning of that video, the most recent one we did. I would strongly encourage you to go and check that video out. Show it a little bit of love, because like most videos that take the most investment and time and energy on this channel, they don't do too well for views. It's because, unfortunately, most people just want to be entertained. And it's just, if you're just doing this to be entertained, it's just mental masturbation. You might as well just go and watch the movies instead. And don't worry about this reality stuff. if you're not pairing it with prudent amounts of preparedness, okay? Let me change the ISO here. That's why I hate when it's not, whoa, that's 500,000 ISO. Let's see here. Let's go up to 80. There we go. That looks good. All right. Now, what's going on in the Black Sea? Okay, so F-16s, apparently, according to some Ukrainian media channels, are in play today. The F-16s have officially flown their first sorties. Now, I think if that were the case, Ukrainska Pravda would be bragging about it because, of course, that has a lot of Pyrrhic value. It would boost morale. It would. I'm pretty sure when the F-16 makes its first flight, we're going to hear about it. Unless, of course, they are very worried about the Russian response to that, then, you know, because apparently the other day the Russians destroyed an airstrip that was supposed to be utilized by Ukrainian F-16s. But I mean, let's get real. They find those F-16s from Ukraine unless they got some very finely manicured runways in a bunker somewhere that the Russians don't know about, which is very unlikely because the Russians know everything about what's going on in Ukraine. They probably built most of it. So yeah, no, they're flying them from Romania and Poland. Now there's some serious stuff going on. The Belarusians are on the highest state of alert because apparently right now there is movement of Ukrainian forces towards the northern part of the country. So military correspondents are reporting that Ukraine is moving troops to the border with Belarus and is preparing for an invasion on several fronts. Now you see how they're framing it there. Why would the Belarusians invade? Are the Russians, do they have enough concentration of force to do an effective invasion in that region? We know it's heavily mined. It's heavily fortified. All the bridges are destroyed, I believe. All the roadways are blocked from Belarus to Ukraine. So I can't see, definitely not just the Belarusians on their own. They don't have that kind of military capability to launch any sort of offensive in the north. Some people speculate that what is happening here in the northern border with Belarus and Ukraine is that this is some kind of fixing maneuver to potentially cover for entryway into the western part of Ukraine by Poland. If you recall, about a year and a half ago, Belarus said that if the Poles enter into Ukraine, they're going to view that as a threat to their territorial sovereignty, because they're, of course, going to be worried that the Poles are potentially going to move northward thereafter, because this puts them at a strategic disadvantage, so that they would actually enter into the conflict. So could we be seeing right now the culmination of all of this, these steadfast defender exercise that we've seen, the militarization of the Suwalki corridor? Could we now be finally seeing all of that come to fruition with the Ukrainians taking forces away from their already sparsely populated front lines that are being completely slaughtered day after day after day? The fact that they're moving all of these mechanized battalions, multiple launch rocket systems, infantry vehicles to the northern front, it's either because they're getting ready to do some kind of last-ditch Hail Mary offensive, or something big is in the works. Now, the biggest story of the day, by far, is what's going on in the Black Sea. I'm going to break this down from a first principles point of view for anybody who, for any of the 10 people who just watched the big two-week production video we just did, and subscribe to the channel, because you might be wondering, what the hell is this guy talking about? What does he know? And I agree, you know, what the hell do I know? But you need to understand what's going on in the Black Sea. This is all about the Black Sea. Okay, where do we start? NATO intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance planes fly in the Black Sea in international waters. From there, they can see what's going on in Crimea. They can see what's going on in parts of Russia. And they help guide Ukrainians who are shooting ATACMS missiles. Probably, realistically speaking, these are Americans helping Ukrainians shoot these ATACMS missiles at Russian targets in Crimea, in the southern part of Russia, attacking not only just military, but also attacking some strategic assets and critical infrastructure, and most recently, civilian populations, albeit inadvertently. So the Russians have said, okay, we are going to start shooting these planes down, more or less, as we expected, long since speculated on this channel that they would be forced to do. Recently, there was claims that a RQ-4 Global Hawk, one of these surveillance planes, was shot down. This, of course, belonged to the United States. Some Russian sources that are affiliated with the Russian Air Force claim that they were, in fact, shot down, or in the very least, brought down through some sort of electronic warfare means. Now, the United States denies that, and the Russian MOD has failed to comment. So what this means is that now NATO, if they want to bring in reconnaissance planes into that region, they need to think of something else. Lo and behold, they've thought of something else. Because now you have the Royal Air Force accompanied by 4 Typhoon fighter jets doing runs in the Black Sea in international waters. But does it matter if it's in international waters when you can see into the country in question and you are helping Ukraine guide missiles on target? So right now they're putting human shields up, essentially, in between Russia's ability to target these reconnaissance planes. So now Russia is left in a position where they have to bring these planes down somehow in a way that is not going to give NATO grounds to trigger Article 5. So how are they going to do it? Are they going to just use jamming? Are they going to use some sort of electronic warfare? Or are they just going to start shooting them down? Because if we continue to see Russia's nuclear radars targeted and Russia's strategic assets and their war plans and even their nuclear facilities targeted, if we continue to see that, there will be left with no choice but to take down those planes. And of course, the RAF and the Typhoon fighter jets that accompany it are there to provoke. You know, above and beyond their ISR capability, they're there to try to provoke some kind of response. So if I was a guy flying those planes, I'd be like, man, they really think we're patsies. You know, that's a one patsy of a job, I'll say, is to be flying a Royal Air Force plane just outside of Russian airspace, sending, you know, targeting coordinates to Ukrainians. I mean, you're asking for trouble. So this is where shit could start, because the Minister of Defense, Andrei Belousov, has instructed the General Staff to make proposals for rapid response measures to U.S. provocations. But notice the U.S. is kind of passing the buck on to NATO, it seems, because they know there's going to be a big war flaring up in the Middle East right away that's going to preoccupy a lot of their manpower and their resources and their materiel. So, but they can't abandon Europe. That's the thing. A lot of people think, well, Biden's going to croak and Zelensky, they're all just going to abandon Europe. They can't do that, because then that power void will be filled by the Chinese or the Russians, possibly, and Nord Stream gets turned back on, and it was all for naught. So they're not going to abandon them. Right now, what they're trying to do is they're using We Cannot Bernies to try to sign as many bipartisan agreements to ensure that no matter what the Trump wild card does when he gets in there, that it's not going to lead to any measurable change in foreign policy. And in spite of what Trump may claim he is going to do, the first 4 years that he had in office, you know, if anything, he was able to maybe slow things down a little bit. But when you look at North Korea, Trump met with Kim Jong-un. And the year after that, the North Koreans did more missile tests than ever before. So this is a lot of bluster and a lot of usual poly talk. And quite frankly, you know, it's just become a WWE Jerry Springer-like experience. You know, you look at the Colosseum and the bread and circuses, our politicians have now become our form of entertainment. You know, we don't even like watching real boxing matches anymore. We'd rather watch people who can't box box just because it's the ridiculousness of it. There's even a show called Ridiculousness. I mean, this is Idiocracy. You guys do realize that we've reached peak Idiocracy. They showed this, there's this comparison video floating around on social media showing Mitt Romney and Obama compared to the current debate. And just the contrast. Now, whether you think that Mitt Romney and Obama are inauthentic deep state shills or not, I agree with you there. At least they had the decorum to have a statesman-like discourse on the issues. And while they might not be the most exemplary of individuals, at least, you know, it demonstrated a certain strength. What these guys demonstrate, whether you like Trump or not, I mean, this does not look good. It's a bad look. And trust me, Justin Trudeau in the video of him dancing on the to a rave today, you know, that was as cringy. So we're right there with you. Don't worry. When your ship sinks, we are tethered to that sinking ship. So whenever I talk about the United States in the negative, I'm talking about Canada as well. We're all going down together, my friends. So that's what's going down in the Black Sea. It's only a matter of time before the Russians, you know, just blow one of these RAF planes out of the sky. And that's going to be it. Now, Vladimir Putin, a couple days ago, because I was indisposed because of this toothache, I was going to make a video on this, but he was talking about building more short and medium range nuclear missiles. Because, of course, the Americans, that's what they've backed out of the Intermediate Nuclear Forces Treaty. And the Russian president, in his now weekly nuclear address, is saying, yeah, we're going to have to start building more medium and intermediate range missile systems. The United States not only produces these missile systems, but has already brought them to Europe for exercises, to Denmark most recently. Putin announced the production of ground-based missile systems to counter the U.S. threat. Russia needs to start the production of ground-based medium and short-range missiles in response to U.S. actions with such systems. Here we go. Sergei Ryabkov, the deputy foreign minister, made an interesting comment the other day. He stated that if there is a nuclear conflict, Western politicians won't even be able to hide in bunkers. I wonder what he means by that. Because assuredly, they can hide in bunkers. And if there's anything we know about these guys, they're going to take care of themselves because they think they are the most important. So they have a continuity of government. They don't even care about continuity of government. They care about continuity of their own existence. U.S. nuclear subs continue to emerge on various fronts close to Russia in response to the Russian surfacing of submarines. People are suspecting that Biden's family is going to compel him to step down, in spite of Biden coming out just a few hours after what people are calling a surprisingly poor performance. I don't know how you could be surprised. You know, all these Democrats, isn't it amazing how quick they can flip the switch? I mean, everybody, he was no different than he was last week. But suddenly, people are shocked and surprised by this. No, they just flipped the switch, right? They just, and now it's time to, it's bash Biden time. It's time to get rid of him. I mean, Time Magazine, the New York Times, you know, all of these big supposed liberal, I'd say they're more neoliberal, media outlets are all calling for his resignation. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be Michelle Obama. Contrary to what the internet thinks, there's no real grounds to believe that's going to be the case. I mean, are they dumb enough to try to run Gavin Newsom? Probably. Are they dumb enough to, you know, Bernie Sanders? Bernie might have a good chance. Bernie could have crushed last election, I think. But, yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. Maybe they'll throw up AOC. Just for the hell of it. Something's going to go down. That's for sure. Talked about Iran mauling nukes. I talked about the Natanz site. I talked about the IAF practicing strikes on said site. Bunker Busters, that I talk about Khamenei issuing a threat to the U.S. military. The Ayatollah has said that U.S. bases all over the world in such a situation, if Lebanon is attacked, any movement, any action, and any revolution that only pays attention to its own internal environment and neglects foreign developments will certainly suffer a blow. That's what's going down. Lebanon tunnels. Southern Lebanon has hundreds of kilometers of tunnels developed over 30 years. It's called the Land of Tunnels. These are vastly different and far more advanced than Hamas tunnels. That is from Forbes. We've been warning about that for some time. And there is rumors that the Brits are the ones who are arming the anti-Hezbollah militias. And they're doing so from Cyprus to serve his country. Biden should leave the race. New York Times. He's going to leave for sure. I mean, you know, I don't particularly care for Joe Biden, but when you look at his past debates, he was sharp. I mean, you can't fault the guy for old age, you know. And if essentially Biden too, I'm quite certain with dementia, you probably don't even notice that you are starting to deteriorate. So it's really the people around him who are responsible for this. It's really not even his fault. I mean, he probably thinks he's, you know, operating at 100%. It's the onus is on the people around him, but of course they're going to continue to scuttle him around to get him to sign things. A radiation monitoring station near the Russian-occupied Zaporizhia plant was destroyed. And apparently, according to Ukrainians, the Russians are actually moving stuff out of there. So there's a lot of stuff going on the Russian front that we probably need the map. I got to start bringing back the map. I think I'm going to bring back the map. A lot of people are asking for that. In fact, we have a new interactive setup that we're going to start to use. We just have to figure out how to effectively use it and get it without flicker on the screen, and lighting is challenging. Apparently, North Korean construction forces are headed to the Donbass to help with fortification building, not with fighting, but to build fortifications. Taiwan has also issued a travel advisory for China because China has now threatened to execute any diehard separatist. I think that's all we got for you today. Oh, German censorship law, or citizenship law, this is new. A new citizenship law came into force in Germany on Tuesday with an explicit requirement for applicants to declare the state of Israel's right to exist. That's interesting. This is an attempt to combat anti-Semitism. Interesting. This one is a cause for concern, I'd say. Denmark plans to bring home six F-35 jets currently stationed at Luke Air Force Base in Arizona due to delays in the delivery schedule for the upgraded TR-3 version. Why are they so worried? What are they worried about that they need to fast-track the bringing home of six F-35 jets? Lockheed Martin is currently facing space constraints for undelivered F-35 jets due to hardware and software delays. Guys, do me a favor. Check out our most recent video where we break down what you can do if you're low income, middle income, or a high net worth individual when it comes to prepping. If you're one of these people that just wants to throw money at the problem, better that than nothing. But I would encourage you to go out, get the skills. Make sure that you're in tip-top physical condition. Do the work while the getting is good. And please, if you have a tooth that needs to be pulled, you do not want to wait. Okay? If you have to get corrective eye surgery, if you have to, you know, get something operated on, do it now while the getting is good. But in the very least, pick up a prescription of antibiotics from the link in the description below. You can get all kinds of chronic medications, antibiotics. It's 100% legal. This is a revolutionary new service that allows you to get stuff lickety-split with the push of a few buttons. You have a virtual consult with a doctor. Usually they just text you, or they'll phone you if they're concerned about something. But, you know, they ask you a few questions, and you can get yourself an emergency antibiotic supply kit. I've already used mine a couple times, and I'm not saying it was a life or death situation per se, but if it was, well, those things would have been worth more than any other prep that I have. Antibiotics are so, so critical. I believe Jace has a limit on how many times you can use it. I think you can use it once a year. You can order a new round of antibiotics. Keep stockpiling them every year. Just keep stockpiling them, because of course they're going to be in short supply too when the war with China starts. Thanks for watching, guys. Take care. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe. Canadian Prepper out.